very welcome to Abundant Sports by the Bulldog. Eric Hunter alongside Jake Givisery, hounded up by great friend Phil Benatti. The show usually 3-6, but the Giants start the road trip out of California in Texas tonight, in Arlington to be precise, and they'll have a 5:05 first pitch and a 4:35 pre. So Phil will take you to 4:35. That game is on ESPN television tonight, a national telecast. Of course, we have the Giant radio feed. Giants play tomorrow in the evening, Texas time, and then a day game on Wednesday. And I bring this up because that day game starts at 1:35 Texas time, 11:35 in the morning here. Because of it, if it goes 2.5 to 2:40, and we've talked about the fact that games now with the ABS have been lasting a little bit longer because the strike zones have been tightened up because umpires are aware of the scrutiny now. If that game runs in the 2:40 range, 2:45, by the time the post is over with, there's not much time left in the 2 o'clock hour. And if that's the case, then Jack Furtig will be with me solely on Thursday. If there's time on Wednesday, I'll bring Jack in and we will adjust accordingly. But Paul with me today, Jackson tomorrow, and a lot to talk about in regard to college sport and what's going on in Major League Baseball relating to college sport. And I think most people are aware the trading deadline is in its last hour right now, about 53 minutes to go. We'll update that for you. The one thing we will bring up, of course, is what we talked about last week. There were three guys the Giants were certain to move, and all three have been moved now because Malley already gone, and now we see Arraez in Philadelphia, and we see Ray going within division to San Diego. So the three that were on the Giant hit list, if you will, they have all been moved, and we'll see what the Giants do the rest of the way. Anyway, Paul with me to talk about all of that, including Taylor Ward coming back to the West Coast. Get to that momentarily, but first, as always, our lead dogs want to spend some time with you. I want to thank our good friend Ed Dunkel at Precision Civil Engineering. I'll look for me the time a little bit later on and tell you about the schedule for both 1430 and 790. Remind you about Ed's great business, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net on the web. As always, we commend Ed for the great fundraising he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering, the goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. Tell you more about that a little bit later on. Now our other two lead dogs want to jump in, and I bring this up as far as jumping in because when I talk about Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing and the time we take to bring you the weather, I keep reminding you about the waterways. And one more time, a tragedy at Millerton, a 28-year-old man drowns. If you are jumping in, whether it's your backyard pool or the lakes and certainly the rivers, but one with the rivers, don't. But even in the other two venues, be very, very careful, for goodness sake. And day after day, week after week, this continues to happen. I know it's tempting and I know you're hot, but you have to be very, very careful. And it's just an absolute tragedy when we hear about these things. But again, we thank everybody at Lee's for allowing the time to tell you about the weather and to get those reminders out. Lee's terrific local people. They've been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I'm having to do work even during COVID. Really professional people. Very timely. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, give them a call, 825-533-7825. Lee's, they'll be there in a hurry. Or you can schedule on the web at leesair.com. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we bring up guests. Now, today, Paul is in studio, but our guests that phone in for all shows come through the Lee's Hotline and, maybe more importantly, to the general public. With Gonzo's show in the morning, the Very Good Valley Rise show, or Phil in the afternoon with his outstanding show Behind the Bench, you can call in with your comments, 559-320-1430. That is the Lee's Air Hotline. As far as the forecast goes, look, it's Central Valley and it's Fresno at the start of August. This is the hottest time of year, the transition from July to August. 105 today, the lows are going to be in the mid to high 70s. That means it doesn't cool off much. Another 105 tomorrow, 104 on Wednesday, 103 on Thursday. Then we go in the projected forecast for the end of the week. 107 Friday, 108 Saturday, and 106 Sunday. That's the bad news. And, of course, we still have a lot of smoke from the wildfires to deal with, not only within state. I know Mendocino, I think they're taking some of the evacuation orders away, but the state of Oregon and even up into the southern part of the state of Washington, a lot of wildfires. You have to deal with that smoke in addition to the heat. The only bright note through this 10-day now is after the 7-day, if it does verify and hold, a week from today and then Tuesday and Wednesday, beyond that, we're looking at 102, 101, 101. So hopefully we're going to get relief. But the 7-day is pretty tough right now. So try to stay cool if you can. If you need to go to a cooling center, please do so. We thank everybody at least for allowing us the time every day to remind you about all of that. And again, anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, 825-5337, 825-LEES, leesair.com on the web. The final reminder from another longtime friend and great businessman and longtime benefactor, Fresno State, is our friend Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, in year number 26 with his fine business. Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply is over at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. Give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe Works for Joe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there for you. Terrific family-oriented business. Anything you need, call. You're not going to get hung up on a voicemail tree. If you're there in person, Joe's there to help you. Gabe as well, if you're someone who works around a valve in particular, if that would happen to go down, your business can go down with it. So if you're a plant maintenance person, tanker delivery service operator, maybe you're working at a dairy or you might be around a boiler, anybody who works around a valve, if it goes down, it can take your business down so quickly. And that's the reason Joe says if you're having a problem initially, don't hesitate to call or stop in, because if it's a minor hit right now, they'll get you up and running in a big hurry. If it's already taken a major chunk out of your business, they'll develop that first day plan to get you back up to full song as quickly as possible. That's why Joe has had great success for 26 years and why he's been a benefactor at Fresno State now for three decades. And he will tell you right now that the best avenue to give to Fresno State is to head to the main website at GoBulldogs.com and take a look at the link at the top. It says donate. You can't miss it. It'll take you to different areas of donation. The BDF has a link there. Club Red is under that header. That's for former student athletes. The major giving societies have their links to Green V Society, Myers Champion Circle. Then under ways to give, you have Valley Co-op, which is the very important matching funds entity. Valley Fueled is there. And then the sports clubs, where the money goes directly to the sport you choose. For instance, Quarterback Club for football, Timeout Club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick on the board of directors, Timeout Club, with me every week to talk basketball. Jack has said, cost that much to join. They'd love to have more members. It's a great social organization. In addition to a lot of inside information, I'm sure when Vance and everybody heads back from the Bahamas, they'll have a lot to say at the meetings. And Jack has said, if you want more information about joining the Timeout Club, call Jack directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, ferdyjack@aol.com. You'd also see links there for other sports, for instance, Dugout Club for baseball, other men's and women's sports under ways to give. And then finally, the singular header for more information. Click on that, and we'll tell you about tickets, events on campus, and also how to order tickets through iPhone or Android devices. So one-stop shopping there at GoBulldogs.com. And the other thing I want to remind you about, as we do every day, we are the flagship now, once again, for Fresno State. We were just that from 2013 to 2020. The difference this time around, the partnership between Fresno State and the radio station through Bulldog Sports Enterprises, which means Chris and Ryan, Enrique, Nico, everybody at the station, and then Saul, Garrett, and the administrators at Fresno State. It's designed local to local to drive things forward, 80-20 for Fresno State, to try to balance the books and move forward at Fresno State in this day and age of NIL. So any interest you have, contact anybody at the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the info there. If you want to get involved with your business or even as a private individual, I'd love to hear from you because we are at a point right now where we've talked over and over again, never mind across the country, huge inequity. We're going to talk about Major League Baseball and the Dodgers and all of that in a second and tie it into Fresno State. But forget about that for a moment, what's going on in Tuscaloosa or in Ann Arbor or whatever. You need to keep up with your own particular conference. And the straw poll that was put together by the writer from Denver shows Boise State an overwhelming favorite to win the league coming up. You want to make sure that you're spending the money that the state of Idaho is spending or the state of Utah is spending or Colorado, et cetera. We know how many mouths there are to feed in California through the state and UC systems. So if you can get involved to benefit Fresno State through Bulldog Sports Enterprises, please do so. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, allowing us the time to tell you how to give to Fresno State. Stop by and see Joe at his business, 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Tell you more about his great business a little bit later. And thanks to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Allow me the time to tell you about the weather. And right now, we will, through the Lee's Air Hotline, though he is in person, bring up Paul Leffler. Just want to remind you about the Lee's Air Hotline one more time, 559-320-1430. Here is the voice of your Bulldogs and our longtime friend, Paul Leffler. Paul, how you doing?
Tony, I'm loving the air conditioning here at 1430 ESPN Fresno. Got to say that.
You know,
must be the Lee's Air connection.
That it probably is. It certainly is. In journalism, we would say you didn't bury the lead. The lead today would be the creature comfort of the air conditioning, which is blazing here as well, for goodness sake. Except where I'm at right now, I'm not paying for it, so I guess I could turn it up even more if I wanted to. Maybe I better keep that quiet before they shut me down by 3 o'clock.
Easy
anyway.
There.
Yeah, I know. All right. I want to start baseball-wise. Robert, thanks for the email about Murph Gray. Paul, I want to start with Taylor Ward because he left the West Coast, went east, and now is back in a really good situation in Seattle. And it's great to see him back in the hunt now for postseason play. What do you make of this move?
Well, from a baseball standpoint, it's exciting because, you know, the Orioles have had a disappointing year. There's a lot of promise when he was traded there. When you looked at what that lineup could be, and you thought, boy, they're ready to do it again, but that hasn't happened. You know, and even though the Orioles and Mariners basically have the same record, the Mariners are right in the hunt in the West. I mean, they're only 3 games back of Houston right now and nipping on the Rangers' heels. So they've got a legitimate chance to win that division, especially when you add a bat of that caliber. So I'm excited for Taylor from a competitive standpoint, but I feel for him on a personal standpoint because, you know, these guys, they're not just robots. They're husbands, they're fathers. He has young children. He and his wife met at Fresno State. They loved it in Orange County. They've moved across the country. His family's on the East Coast, and I think they'd invested in this idea of being in Baltimore for a while, and now the chain is jerked again. So from a family standpoint, it comes with a lot of challenges, and that's stuff that, you know, I know people in your audience can identify with. So, but, you know, I know that God's plans are always better than ours, and sometimes he sees things that we don't see. So I know Taylor will embrace the opportunity, be a valuable part of that team, and let's see what it does for his career long term. You know, I think for the day-to-day, though, pray for his wife, Taylor, and his kids and you never really know where your feet are in this business sometimes. And that's where my heart went today when I heard that news, just for his family. But from a baseball standpoint, yeah, 100% exciting for him. And let's see if he can get to the playoffs and maybe run into a couple other former Diamond Dogs in the playoffs.
Well, no doubt about it. And of course, we've talked over and over again how close the Blue Jays were winning the World Series one more time. And I know, Dodger fans, you're sick of me saying this, but I'm going to bring it up anyway because it's my show. You can email me with your venom. But if Isaiah Kanaalefa would have headed the home on a force play, standing, not sliding, Jays would have won the series. And I know, and if my aunt had, I know how that works. She'd be my uncle. We get that all the time, and we understand if and all and buts and all panty and nuts and all that stuff. But the bottom line is that prior to that, Seattle had a great chance to find its way into the World Series. So you're correct, Paul, that even though it hasn't been a great year so far for the Mariners, and one of the reasons is they have not hit, that's one of the reasons they wanted to bring Taylor over, he is definitely in the hunt. The only thing I will say is what I say every time we talk about Taylor Ward, please, Taylor, stop channeling your inner Pete Reiser. Pete Reiser was a player long ago who spent most of his time running directly into walls, really bad walls, like brick walls without ivy on them at Wrigley Field sometimes. Paul, every time I turn around, Taylor Ward is slamming into a wall somewhere. I think you and I are both in agreement he's got to stop doing that, right?
Yeah, we want that guy to be healthy so he can keep hitting bombs and keep being the leader that he is. You know, he's really become someone who is consistent and just sets a great example for his teammates. You know, he had some great coaches at Fresno State. He comes from a phenomenal family, just a tremendous young man and super proud for all his success, as well as these other dogs. I mean, like Dylan Lee yesterday just picked up his 300th career strikeout. If you look at his numbers, I mean, he doesn't have the biggest chunk of the puzzle for the Braves, but they're one of the best teams in baseball. And if you look at, you know, just getting your job done, I don't know if there's a player on that team or anywhere who's doing his job better than Dylan Lee is. And he's another one of those guys who's from the Valley, who loves the Valley, who gives back at every chance he can. And when you see those guys succeed, it's so exciting because you know their example is rubbing off on the next generation. So couldn't be happier for Dylan either. And so many of these dogs, you know, just doing great things. It'll be interesting to see as we get closer to September, you know, if we might have another ex-dog or two who makes that major league debut.
You're right. By the way, Giants have just sent Eric Miller off, and so it continues this to the Red Sox, who are loading up. Boy, they spent a lot to get Ruxman, and we'll see. I mean, talk about, I guess, the new baseball, but second or third now heading to the 2030s, the new world of baseball, Paul, with so many playoff teams. Nobody's dead, and the Red Sox appear to be dead in the water, and they've had one of the great runs over the last 30 games or so. So one never knows, except we know the Giants aren't going anywhere, and neither are the A's. That we know for sure at the moment.
Well, I think the A's are going to Vegas, last I heard. But
I refer to them, as you know, somewhat sarcastically, since I love the team when they arrive from Kansas City. I call them the Philadelphia, Kansas City, Oakland, Sacramento, soon to be Las Vegas A's, all right?
Our buddy Ozark guy could be proud of you for that, the Philadelphia Athletics legend, Gus Zernial, who graced our community for so long.
And one of my great, great friends, and I miss him dearly. He was just one of the really great guys. And I guess if the same thing applied, we could say that the Sacramento Kings could be known, you get ready, right, as the Rochester, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Omaha, Kansas City, Sacramento Kings. That's right. At one point, they split time between Omaha and Kansas City. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough when teams have to move, and I wish the A's could have stayed where they were if Major League Baseball won. This is, Robert, this is for you out there. If they would have sold to Joe Lacob when they were supposed to, the A's would still be in Oakland. But I know for the people in Sacramento, embrace it. You get one more year and then off to Vegas. And the A's better find some pitching between NorCal and Southern Nevada in the next year or so, or it's going to be a lot of 11-10 or, as the case yesterday, 11-0 games.
Hey, let me flip the tables on you here, Tony. Can I ask you a question about Major League Baseball?
Okay.
Do you think that all this buzz about a lockout and the potential for there not being a season next year or a delayed season, do you think that's making teams more desperate at the trade deadline this year? That they're saying, hey, we don't know what next year looks like, so we're going to do something a little crazier than we normally would?
It might. I mean, if you're looking at December and saying that inevitably it's going to come to a head to the point that it is going to be like 1994, a breaking point, then, yeah, it may very well be. You're saying, you know, let's go ahead and make a run for it. I mean, let's leave the Dodgers aside, because what the Dodgers are doing is well within the confines of the rules of baseball, but they are doing this because they intend in the second biggest market in the United States to win, win, and win. And it reminds me, Paul, very much of what just happened a few years ago with the Warriors in the NBA, and it precipitated the second apron. The rest of the league, admittedly, the NBA already had a hard cap, but the concern was one team, or maybe two with Steve Ballmer, going to spend and spend and spend until they couldn't spend anymore, which may have been never, given the investment group that Lakeup has, and of course the, what, $82 billion that Ballmer has burning a hole in his bald head at this particular point. They took action to stop it. The NFL took action to stop it when Eddie DeBartolo and Jerry Jones, and I guess to a lesser degree Daniel Snyder, not because he didn't have the money, he had the money, just didn't know what to do with it. They had to stop that. Otherwise, competitive balance is gone. Major League Baseball, the Dodgers, have blown up competitive balance. It's not their fault. They're doing it within the confines of the league. So if you want to separate the Dodgers, and I think you can separate the Yankees and the Mets as well. And by the way, Robert had brought up the fact that the rumors are that the Mets want to go after Murph Gray, and I'll ask you about that in a second. But, Paul, since you asked the question, I think the Dodgers and a couple of other major market teams go in one category. All the rest of the league goes in the other, but the players do not want to have the cap. No team, no players wanted it. No players wanted it within the confines of teams, but they were forced to take it in the other leagues. If they cannot get that agreement, Paul, and it appears the players are dug in, if they don't want a cap and the owners are dug in, if they do, you may very well be right that we are not going to see baseball start on time next April or late March. So I guess if you want to try to make one last stab, who knows how long the league might or the leagues might be sitting out, I guess you go for it now, right, unless you're giving up too many prospects.
Yeah, I think that's where we are. And I'm sure that's what, was it Robert's email about Murph Gray had to do with? He's wondering if Murph is going to be moved today.
Well, he was wondering if he said the rumors are that he hears that the Mets are really trying to make a run at Murph through the Pirates organization. Have you heard that?
Oh, I think they're in talks with a lot of people. And we'll see what happens, right? Obviously, there's a lot of value. I mean, he's having one of the best years of anybody in baseball, if you look up and down. And you know what my takeaway from that is, too, is how special those back-to-back Mountain West tournament title teams were for Fresno State, because both of those teams dealt with just extreme adversity, in incomprehensible parades of injuries, all kinds of bad breaks, but they found a way to overcome. And now you see, much like 2008, right, when everybody just wants to talk about what an underdog the Dogs were, but we remember they're a preseason top 25 team. They had talent, but they just had to navigate through a lot of challenges, a lot of adversity. And when you see what Murph Gray is doing, when you see what Cremarosa and Anchor are doing, and Justin Stransky, nobody's talking about Justin Stransky. This guy's thrown out more base runners than anybody in any level of baseball this year. And oh, by the way, he's a catcher who the other day hurdled the opposing catcher to score a run. They had some real talent and some real grit on those teams. And there were, you know, so many opportunities in those 24 and 25 seasons for those teams to fold up and give up on their dreams, and they didn't. And just seeing what so many of those young men are doing in professional baseball now is a reminder of what those guys were made of. And hopefully we'll see some more stories like that in the future if somebody can rein in college sports. And maybe this legislation that apparently there have been some pretty strong negotiations about in the last couple of days, maybe that can be a step in that direction.
And we're headed there right now. By the way, Robert, I'll get to the coaching staff stuff with Paul in ensuing weeks, but in the interest of time, I do want to swerve into what you're talking about, Paul, and that is the Save College Sports Act and what we have seen now with this fifth-year eligibility back in play. And I do want to ask you about that first, because you and I talked about it briefly. It's a specific for people who graduated in 2022 and denied the right to have a retrofit for that extra year. the judge, and she made it clear that she doesn't know much about sport, and this has been an issue. It was Claudia Wilkin. It is now with Judge Sweeney. I'll try to leave that aside. It's a little bit like, other than that, how'd you like to play Mrs. Lincoln, however, to leave it aside. But, Paul, when you look at the 5-5 right now, do you see this impacting Fresno State much with guys with the transfer portal already done and all of that? Guys that could be coming back here, or is it pretty much site specific and it doesn't really hit much to Fresno State right now?
Well, I think the piece of that equation that people forget about is it's still college athletics. It's not athletics college. So if you've been told you're out of eligibility, you're not enrolled in graduate school unless you've got other plans. And that's already been a huge issue at Fresno State across the board in every sport. Coaches have had challenges where there just aren't that many open spots available in graduate programs for student athletes to fill. So at this late date, to be able to get enrolled, to find a graduate program that has spots available, to get enrolled and then be back on the field, I think those are a lot of hurdles to clear. So on the surface, it sounds like, hey, so-and-so can get another year, so-and-so can get another year. It's not that simple. Maybe at some other institutions, maybe they play a little faster and looser with some of those protocols. But I know just experientially at Fresno State, even in a perfect world, there have been players who could have had an opportunity who couldn't find a grad school spot and ended up going elsewhere. So I think that would be relatively unlikely to see some of those guys back, but we'll see. Time will tell. And, you know, it's a different equation for each young man too. And every sport's a little different, especially when, you know, you look at the difference between football and baseball. For football, if you're good enough and you can get enrolled and they have a scholarship available, you're covered. You might even get some NIL on top of it. For baseball, you have to find that spot. And then you have to pay for just about everything, right? You don't have those full scholarships available for baseball players. And that's an expensive proposition. So it's a little different equation for everybody. And obviously basketball is a different animal. That was one of the intriguing things I thought last week was that ruling that opened up recruiting for a bunch of basketball players, including a big man that Fresno State was in the running for. Now, that could be something that does come into play and is relevant for Bulldog fans. So we'll just have to stay tuned for that.
We'll see what Congress does. The clock obviously is ticking big time for November. A lot of other issues swirling around. And if you don't get something done, then you have a new Congress that will be seated, of course, in January. And you don't have to start from scratch, but you certainly are going to have to reestablish relationships if you have critical votes that are not going to be on your side or maybe against you when you get to January. So we'll see what happens. Well, I want to ask you about the straw poll that the writer from the Denver Post put together. It shows, save for one vote each for Texas State and Fresno State, everybody else within the conference, media-wise, or at least one from each particular market, believes Boise State will win the first ever revisited Pac-12, the new configuration. Are you in agreement with that? I'm not saying you're in agreement that Boise State's going to win, but in agreement that that is a likely favorite to this going in?
Yeah, right? I mean, that's the favorite because that's the team that's devoted the most resources. That's the team that has the most coming back. That's the team with the returning quarterback who, after getting knocked out of that game against Fresno State, you know, rallied and got them to the championship game, or at least got to play in it. So sure, I can understand that being the preseason pick. But I got to tell you, Tony, I mean, coaches have said forever that preseason predictions aren't worth the paper that they're printed on. Never has that been more true than in 2026, when all these rosters have extreme turnover and you really don't know what you have until you get out there on the field. So that's always been the case. There's always been an element of that. But I think it's even more exacerbated in this day and age. And, you know, I expect Fresno State to contend. We know there's a power in momentum. We also know Boise State has to come to Fresno. The Dogs won on the blue last year in decided fashion. So they're going to have a big target on their back when the Broncos come to town. But, you know, when October 10th rolls around, where's Fresno State going to be? What kind of season will the Dogs be having? Do they have momentum from going to Pullman the week before and coming up with a big win against our old buddy Kirby Moore and the Cougs? That's going to be really fun to watch that all unfold. And it's an early showdown that could be a springboard to a championship. So if fans haven't gotten their tickets yet for October 10th, I mean, Logan Mankins is going to be here joining the Ring of Honor. I hope they can make a red jacket big enough for him. There are going to be some new things for the home games this year that fans are going to love. But that night, to have Boise State in town with, you know, regardless of what happens the week before, let's say you go to Pullman and don't win. Beating Boise State can resurrect your championship hopes right there. And I think the Bulldogs are going to go to Pullman with a great chance to win. So it's one of those that can springboard you toward a championship, or it's putting you back in a championship race. It's the rivalry. It's everything you could ask for. And that's going to be one of those nights. It just has to be a sellout. I think Fresno State can sell out all six games, right? I mean, this is a fan base that's led the nation in attendance 2 years running for outside of the power conferences. Three-peat is certainly not out of the question when you see the expectations, the excitement, the returning players, the guys who could have gone to other places and made a lot of money and said, no, I want to be here and I want to win a championship. And when some of your best players are making those decisions, when guys like Josiah Freeman and Simeon Harris are making those kind of decisions, what do you think the impact is on the rest of the team? They're saying, hey, if this is good enough for those guys, maybe it's good enough for me too. So I think that's a really good sign going into the season. The decisions that those young men made, the attitudes that they have, and as fall camp, you know, opens with the first practice tomorrow, I'm really excited to see what kind of tone is set by some of the veteran leaders on this Bulldog team.
Along those lines, Paul, how long do you think we're going to go into fall camp before a decision is made quarterbacking-wise? We've talked about what appears to be, and I think Matt's a straight shooter about this, an open competition between Martin coming in, and again, Martin, from a physical standpoint, is a tremendously gifted guy. He's big, he's strong, but he doesn't have a world of experience. Mandel, who's also a very strong guy, a little bit shorter, but not, as I mentioned, 180-pounder. He's around 205 at least, so he can certainly pull it down and make a difference, and he's been around the program now for a number of years. How long do you think we're going to go before we hear of a decision, Paul? Could it be all the way to the lead-up week to SC?
Certainly it could be. I mean, we saw that last year in the first crack at it with this staff. And that was a hotly contested battle too. I think, you know, if someone separates himself early in camp, or certainly if there's, you know, a mitigating factor, then maybe that news comes out sooner. And, you know, you weigh the pros and cons. On one hand, does it really mean that much to USC who the starter is? I don't think you have to play a cat and mouse game with the Trojans about, you know, keeping them guessing. On the flip side of that is you want whoever that guy is to go in with confidence. And so maybe making that decision a little sooner gives him a little more confidence. I will say that both Coach Entz and Coach Davis, the offensive coordinator, have been really clear that they believe both of those young men are capable of leading Fresno State to a championship in 2026. So I think that speaks well of both of those guys, the way they talk about each other. You can see the genuine friendship and camaraderie that Jaden and Christian have. And I think that's a reflection of how those young men were raised and the parents and coaches they've had. They're really grounded. They've got great perspective. They're not selfish. They're team first guys. So I think, you know, we've seen a lot of these quarterback battles, or as Pat Hill would say if he were sitting right here, quarterback controversies. I think this is one that you feel the, you know, close to the best about, because it's not going to be one guy's bitter because he didn't get the job and he throws in the towel and is a cancer in the locker room. That's not going to happen with this club. These young men are wired the right way. They see the big picture. And they're going to be each other's biggest fan, you know, regardless of which one gets that first nod. And I do expect we'll see both of them on the field eventually in 2026. And down the road, I think that position looks really strong. I mean, Jonathan Kraft has come a long way. People don't talk about him, but tremendous athlete, really hungry and grounded young man. And of course, I don't need to tell your audience about Deegan Rose and how talented he is and how special he can be down the road. So, you know, we'll see in this ever-changing landscape of college football how long that group can stay together. But I think there's a real good energy coming from that quarterback room right now, and we'll know for sure once practice gets going mañana.
Well, we know this, and I think your point is well taken about USC. They know that the Bulldogs are going to come in and run the football and play tough defense no matter who is at that quarterbacking position. So I think you're correct. I don't think USC is sleeping on the cots worrying about who Fresno State brings in QB. I think they are worried about being prepared, independent of San Jose State, being prepared for a Bulldog team that under Benedetto plays really, really strong defense. And as we've talked over and over again, Paul, if the Bulldogs don't turn it over, they are going to be in these close games almost every week going into the fourth quarter, even against teams that on paper might have an advantage. That's why it's going to be independent of the non-conference year, a fascinating year in what I think is going to be a very competitive conference. I did want to ask you quickly about a piece that Bob Quatta did in the B the other day about scheduling where Stanford may want out, and some schools that in the past you say, okay, they're going to try to get out because they don't want to play Fresno State. Well, that may still be true, and they have a guarantee that they have to pay. But a lot of it is the conference realignment all across the country is really messing with everybody's long-term schedules, right?
It is, yeah, and you're getting teams that are, you know, overbooked and teams that are undersold, and there's going to be some horse trading. So some of the things we've had penciled in and looking forward to for years may have to shift a little bit, but I'm just excited for 2026. The fans are excited. This Pac-12 thing is a big deal to a lot of people. There's a lot of buzz out there right now, and if the Bulldogs can have a strong showing in that opener down at the Coliseum, I think that buzz grows exponentially right out of the gate. It could be a real special 2026.
Paul, what day is the banquet for people that want to get involved, because we're closing in?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Tony. That'll be a week from Thursday, so August 13th, the kickoff dinner. It's going to be not downtown this year, not at the stadium as we did a couple years during that COVID era, but it's going to be up at Table Mountain Casino Resort. And, you know, after the way that facility welcomed the program for Media Day last week, I think there's a lot of optimism that that's just going to be a phenomenal event. And, you know, some of your listeners, they want to hear, you know, 10 levels deeper than what you and I are talking about. And they'll get some of that at the dinner, especially if they rub shoulders with some of the players and the coaches who will all be there. We'll raise a lot of money for the program. We'll have a great time. And I'm sure the food's going to be fantastic. So I hope we see all your listeners there next Thursday. And they can sign up right now at GoBulldogs.com.
The final thing, Paul, to touch bases, at least in a cursory sense, and you're right, we can't jump into everything as deeply as I'd like in the time we have. What do you make of what happened in the Bahamas? The outcomes of the games, not what's important. What's important, the extra practices, the 10 you get, the camaraderie, the bonding that you build, but also seeing the athletic ability of guys, because that shines through no matter who the competition might be. You look at guys and you say, okay, and I know that we did not get a ton of video, we got some, but we are seeing a much greater level of athleticism. What do you make of the Bahamas trip, and how much do you believe we're going to see that exponential jump forward in year three for Vance, or are we just waiting to see?
Well, I think there's a lot of wait and see on a number of levels. You know, there's still a wait and see on the roster. I think there's a chance they could still make a roster addition, and hopefully that's an impact addition. There's the schedule. We're waiting on the schedule. And, you know, the conference schedule will be one thing. I know fans are excited about having the Zags come to Fresno for the first time. I know a lot of fans are going to make that trip, and let's keep that area of the country in prayer with the you know, tragic fires that are burning up there around the Spokane area right now. But I know some fans will be making that trip, plus the rivalries we've loved in the Mountain West with San Diego State and Colorado State, Utah State, all of that. I saw a fan last week was talking about going to Texas State this year. There's going to be a lot to look forward to, but scheduling-wise, we're still waiting to hear where the Bulldogs will be in their exempt tournament, probably the week of Thanksgiving. Sounded like they were going to Hawaii. That's not happening. Palm Springs is out. Maybe there's another destination that's close enough for fans to get there and have some fun. And then are there some other, you know, big name opponents in the non-conference that fans can get excited about? Are we going to be back at Celent Arena again for a second straight year for a throwback game, which all the people I know that went were dying to have it down there again? It doesn't take anything away from the Save Mart Center. It just stokes the flames of this tradition's proud history and gives people an extra reason to go to the Save Mart Center too. So those are all things we can look forward to. As far as the results in the Bahamas, hey, blowout wins are a whole lot better than close wins or losses, but it was never about the results. And if you watch some of the highlights, you can see the caliber of competition is nowhere near what they're going to face in the Pac-12 this year. Not even close. I mean, I guarded Kenny Wiggins last week, and he might have scored 20 in one of those matchups because, man, that guy, he's pretty nimble for a guy his size. So it's not about the level of competition. It's about these guys getting to play with each other and getting to understand each other's games. And they're getting that actual game experience, a long trip. They're getting to know each other. Stuff that, again, in today's day and age, you're doing on a microwave pace for most teams. But so this is a huge luxury for Coach Wahlberg, and hats off to the people who donated to make that trip possible and give them this leg up. And, you know, you remember when Fresno State had its last NCAA tournament team a decade ago, Marvell Harris and those Bulldogs with Rodney Terry, they got to go to Italy in the offseason, and they had that bonding, and they came out a stronger team because of it. In that case, some of those guys have been playing together for a couple years. This team really doesn't have that, but they have this. They have this familiarity. They have some experience. They have a little feel, and it's not going to hurt, Tony. It can only help. So I'm excited to see them in person when the time comes, and I know a lot of fans are waiting to hear more news about the schedule and if there's another significant roster addition. And I've just got to say, Tony, too, talking about that roster, one guy who was dialed in on that and actually helping the program with identifying some talent around the world is our friend Daryl Howerton, who passed away. And his life's going to be celebrated this Saturday at Wahoo's at Campus Point, where he held court so many days. And Daryl, one of those guys, never met a stranger, everybody's friend, loved the game of basketball, loved the Bulldogs. And I'm hoping they have a special year to honor his memory as much as anything else. But anybody who knew Daryl, I hope they go there Saturday to Wahoo's and really celebrate a great guy here in our valley.
Very well said, and we talked about it when he passed away. Of course, Daryl was a correspondent on the show for years and a friend. A very close friend long before that. He and his sister, Sarah, were in media relations at Fresno State many, many years prior to Daryl being on the air with me, and I'm still having trouble processing that particular situation. It was very jarring, and our sympathies out, as we mentioned, to the entire Howerton family. Paul, appreciate it as always, my friend. Thanks for stopping by studio, and I'll leave you with this thought from our good buddy TJ from the intersection of Steinbeck and Saroyan. Said, Tony, been away for a bit, just sick and tired of all the changes in college football. NIL has had me upset, not because students are getting paid, but because there wasn't a plan in place from the NCAA from the outset. But, said, anyways, I'm looking forward to the season. And that says it very well, TJ, and that is we're all frustrated, but we still love sport above everything else. I hope it stays that way. Paul, appreciate it. I'll be in touch, my friend. Take care.
Yeah, Tony, and if TJ's listening, I'll add my thanks to him. He's one of those true blue Bulldog fans who always shows up no matter what town he's in. He's always representing. I'm sure I'll see him at a few coaches' shows this year. And hopefully, like we talked about earlier, this act in the Senate can at least give us a starting point with some kind of boundaries that aren't made of jello.
I certainly hope that is indeed the case. All right, guys, Paul left. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the schedule, and then it's time for Phil for about an hour and a half, and then Los Gigantes or whatever's left of them in Texas tonight. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues in this Monday in Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Pretty welcome back. Coming up on the show, and we're having a great show behind the bench for an hour and a half today. Then the Giants. Speaking of the Giants, we mentioned Ray has gone to the Padres, Arise to Philly. We have talked about Malley to the Braves, just talking about Miller to the Red Sox, and now a report, NBC Bay Area, saying that Ramos is headed to the Yankees. So the Giants have really cleared the deck, which I guess they have to. We'll see what Buster does now. The one guy he said he would keep is Webb, and with about 5 minutes to go, the trading deadline, evidently he is keeping Webb, but I'm sure Phil will have more about that. I'm not about Webb, but about the Giants and everything going forward during his hour and a half. Right now, I want to remind you about the schedule, courtesy of our good friend Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, all they're under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net on the web. We commend Ed for the great fundraising he does throughout the Valley, in particular for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering, where the goal is always to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years. A lot of those grads go to work for Ed at Precision. As far as schedule goes, the A's are off today. They'll be in Cincy tomorrow on 790. The Giants, again, 435 pre today, 505 from Texas, first of three. Night game tomorrow, and then on Wednesday at 11:35 a.m., we'll see how it plays out for us. Phil will be up, of course, afterward, no matter what. The regular schedule, Phil, normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with a great show behind the bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Radha Vidikin. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats. Always stop by El Paso across from River Park. Gonzo in the Morning, his terrific show, Valley Rise Show, 6A to 9A. Check it out. And like Phil, you can reach him on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1, at att.net. TDAD1 at att.net. Everything with Station 1430, ESPNFresno.com. Get the Live Links podcast there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. Make sure you check out everything through Bulldog Sports Enterprises and the station to help Fresno State. And then finally, we want to thank our sponsors, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, and our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks to Gunner for his great work on the board. He'll be with Phil momentarily. Thanks to Paul for stopping in the studios. Jackson with me tomorrow, and we will talk more about Fresno State football with Jackson. This is KFIG Fresno.